We give Him all our worship, don't we? We give Him all of our praise. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, reach over to somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Come on, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Hey, how many know that tonight we are going to have a miracle service? Benjamin Otika was here just a few months ago, and they were coming back through the area. I said, oh, you got to come back. Because we had such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He was laying hands on people. And let me tell you something about this gentleman. Benjamin grew up in a war-torn country of North Uganda in Africa. He was abducted by the Revolutionary Army of Joseph Kony, who was a self-professed demon worshiper, Satanist, who eluded government armies for years, 20, who slaughtered villages, abducted children as early as 6 and 7 and 8 years of age, and taught them to become murderers. They said that the children could murder people more readily than even adults because they didn't understand the finality of life. And they would then be taught and trained to kill. 2 years later, he was escaped from his abductors, reunited with his family. But he tells stories of how walking on pathways in Africa where these revolutionists are, these army members would literally just hold people up, steal their items, and murder them right on the spot. He tells of one time when he was walking at night, and there are no street lights, there are no sidewalks. He's walking through this path, and he could hear these army members in the bush, and he knew that they were probably going to abduct him. He said he didn't understand what it was, and this didn't happen once, this happened a number of times, where he was able to walk right past them, and he could hear them say in the bush, let him go, we'll get the next one. He said it was God that allowed him to pass by. He said one time as he walked about 20 yards or so from that spot, he heard gunfire, and he looked back, and 4 people were massacred right there on the pathway, right after he passed through. He talked about many times as a young boy hiding in his hut where there was gunfire everywhere in the villages, literally bullets going through his clothing and yet never even scarring his physical body. He just finished preaching in Sudan to 30,000 people where there were literal dead raised. There were literal blind with their eyes opened, crippled that walked out of that crusade. And one of the most amazing things is he has no fear. You know why? Because when you grow up in an atmosphere where there's bullets flying through your hut and people trying to murder you on the pathway and you're abducted for nearly 2 years in this revolution, what does he think man's going to do to him? He knows in whom he's believed in, and he is persuaded and able that God is able to keep him. And so he has seen many, many Muslims come to know the Lord. He was here the last time, and he went downtown Cleveland, Tower City. He was telling me how he went to look for Muslims. He said, I preach to Muslims, and I tell them this. Your God is dead. I said, you say that? He goes, yes, this is the truth. I must say their God is dead. I said, okay, that's pretty brave of you. And he said, I was leading Muslims right there in Tower City to the Lord because they saw the power of God. People were being healed. People were being delivered. And they said they want that power. He said, you cannot have this power because your God doesn't have the power. He is dead. But my God has the power. And if you become a Christian, you too can have the same power. They said, pray with me. We want to become a Christian. And he was doing this right in downtown Cleveland. So he saw many, many thousands born again in this crusade. He's going back January 23rd into a Muslim stronghold in Sudan and into Egypt. Now understand, they are strategizing to go from the tip of Africa all the way to the Horn of Africa, the Muslims are. But God's raising up people like Benjamin and others to say, no, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So tonight at 7 o'clock, I invite you to come. Come expecting. Someone once said, expectancy is the breeding ground of the miraculous. And I believe that God wants to show himself strong in the miraculous in this place. I'm going to believe God for supernatural healing and deliverance and salvation. So that's at 7 this evening. Please invite a friend, and it's called Supernatural Sunday Night. Amen? Is that exciting? Wow, you all looking real good here today. Yeah. And guess what else? In your coastal view, there's a little slip there. It's called Church on the North Coast Western Wall Prayer Card. We are getting ready to go to Israel. I'm not, but many are. Pastor Troy is. And he's going to take your prayer request and put it in the Western Wall. Now, what they do, people come from all over the world, and they fold up your prayer request and slip it right into the original wall of the rebuilt temple. And that is where one of the most sacred places of the Hebrew is today on the earth. And they pray there consistently, and the Gentiles are able to go in there as well. And we're going to do that, and we're going to insert those prayer requests. So fill them out, and Pastor Troy will be taking them with him when he goes. And I think it's sometime in early December, okay? So don't miss out on that. I want to say thank you for those of you that reached out yesterday to the Joshua kids and had the Thanksgiving dinner. And Ann, I see, is here, and others. If you were involved in that outreach, and then this past week as well with the blanket distribution and all of that, I heard it went just tremendous. Would you mind standing? We just want to say thank you. Come on, all of you that were part of that team, come on, thank you. Come on, give them a big hand clap. Thank you. Thank you. God bless all of you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Y'all are so shy. You're just like, all right. You know, you didn't want to stand up. Hey, get your Bible out. Let's go right to the Word. Are you ready? Let's get right in the Word. Psalm 107, verses 21 to 22. Psalm 107, verses 21 to 22. But I'm going to have to get you to read this with me. But you got to have a little bit of enthusiasm. You can't come in here tired, worn out, and just, you know, that kind of... You got to come in here like you're pumped up and ready to go, okay? And you usually are. I mean, come on, it's noon. No, it's almost 1 o'clock. Are you ready? Let's read it. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works, rejoicing. Go to my next scripture, please. Because in Psalm 119, we see again some kind of a secret that I want us to get into our spirit. Ready? Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. You know, I believe your attitude is the birthing place of the words that you release. Words are like containers. They're powerful. And when you and I can speak words of faith, we can see mountains move. We can see in our declarations and our decreeing, like that little 5-year-old boy, we understand that the words out of our mouth are for ruling and reigning. That's why God gave you a mouth. He didn't give you a mouth for grumbling and complaining, but he gave you a mouth for ruling and reigning, right? So when I understand that attitude is what births words, and when I find myself grumbling and complaining, it's probably because I need an attitude check. I probably have left the attitude of gratitude. I have not become thankful for what God has done. Now, there's a statement someone made this past week that blessed me. They said, what kind of a day, or how would your day be if all you experienced today was what you were thankful for yesterday? I thought, man, that's pretty good. So if I wasn't thankful for water, then today I wouldn't have any. If I wasn't thankful for clothing, today I'd be walking around, well, I mean, want to think about that. If I wasn't thankful for friends, I'd be alone today. In other words, if all we experienced today is what we were thankful for yesterday, what would your day look like? An attitude of gratitude. And you know, when you have a gratitude or an attitude of gratitude, it's easy to praise the Lord. It's easy to give thanks to God. But sometimes circumstances in our life don't become very conducive to thankfulness. Sometimes they're contrary. Have you ever had contrary circumstances? This is where the scripture in Psalm 119 comes into play. Because the psalmist said this, it's going to have to be a free will offering of my mouth. In other words, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Do you know that psalm? Say it with me. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There are times when you've got to make a free will offering, when your circumstances are not in alignment with thanksgiving, when they are the exact opposite of anything you would say, thank you, Jesus, for. You just need to make an offering, a sacrificial offering, and offer up thanksgiving to God. Now, why is that so important? The reason why it's so important is because Israel came out of bondage for 400 years. Think about it. They had heavy taskmasters. The Bible said that they were under all kinds of persecution and bondage. They had no liberty and no freedom. And God raised up a deliverer and brought him out by his mighty hand with signs and wonders. Can you imagine that? And they're now leaving Egypt. And they're seeing the mighty army of Pharaoh swallowed up by the Red Sea. And they're on the other side going, nana, nana, boo, boo. In other words, you can't touch this because God just delivered me with great authority and power. Then in 3 days, everybody say 3 days. It was only just a couple days later, they started looking around and say, where's the beef, honey? Where's the water? Where's the food? Where's the cucumbers? Where's the leeks? And they got into grumbling and they got into complaining and something happened to them. Why is it important that you maintain a thankful heart? Look at Psalm 100 and verse 4. This is a psalm that we have put to a song and many of us know it. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. That's where we get this song from. But listen to the verse. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. All of a sudden now, I'm seeing a key to my blessing. I see a key to the promises of God. I see a key that will unlock the gateway and allow me to enter in to the fulfillment of what God has promised me. And you know what it is? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. You know why the enemy likes to create circumstances in your life that are contrary to giving thanks to God? You know why there's lack or there might be loss or there might be poverty or might be betrayal or there may be lying or thievery around your life? Or you may feel like you're going through trouble right now. You know why? Because the devil wants you to come in agreement with your circumstance so that you will lose your gratitude. Because when you and I no longer are thankful, we throw away the key that unlocks the gateway to the blessing of the Lord. Now let's go back to Israel. God wanted to bless them. God said, I'm going to bring you out of bondage. But what happened? They started grumbling and complaining. They were only 12-day journey away from the promised land. Come on, say it with me. 12 days away from the promised land. 12 days. How long did they spend in the wilderness? Help me somebody. 40 years. Now, why did they spend 40 years? I believe they threw away the key that unlocked the gateway to the promises and the blessing of God because they got an attitude and didn't keep their gratitude. They began to feel entitled. They felt like they deserved something. And they didn't give God thanks. And because they didn't give God thanks, they didn't unlock the entranceway into the promises and the blessings of God. See, I've been serving God long enough now. I'm starting to get wise. I'm realizing that when trouble comes, The devil's trying to steal my blessing. When trouble comes, I'm realizing now that the devil's just trying to get me to agree with my circumstance. Mm-hmm. See, we've got too many people in the church that have been wandering around for a long time. A wandering church. A church that's wandering when God's going to do something. I just wonder when the church is going to help me out. I just wonder when they're going to come over and pray for me. I just wonder why I can't be blessed like Sister Yeye is blessed. I just wonder why. I wonder why. And you keep wandering, 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 wandering. And you miss the key to entering into the promises of God. And that is, I've realized that I do not have to possess it to thank Him for it. Come on, say this with me.
I will.
No, you got to do it this way. You got to lift your hands up and say, I will. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. See, I've got to make a covenant with that. I've got to make a commitment. Going into my day, I've got to make that commitment because I am not loitering. I'm not just hanging out in church. See, some of us came to church today and you've got a praise in you. But in order to release it, it would be a sacrifice. And because you don't feel it, you can't say it. Because you're not seeing it, you can't give it. Because you don't possess it, you can't release it. But oh, I like what the songwriter said. I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Now, it's one thing to bring it. It's another thing to give it, honey. I feel like a thief. Somebody call the police. It's one thing to bring your praise to church. It's another thing to release it. And sometime when your conditions are not conducive to thankfulness, you might have brought a praise, but you can't seem to release it. And that's where we have to understand this is a sacrifice. This is something what I don't feel, I don't see, I don't possess. It is the highest form of praise and thanksgiving to God. It's not when you have it. It's before you even know that it's coming to you. It's not because you're blessed. It's because you know He said you're blessed. You have no evidence that you are going to make it. But you know this, God will never forsake me and God will never leave me. So here's what I'm going to do. I just want you to know, devil, I've been round the mountain too many times for me to keep sitting here and wonder if God is going to do anything. I'm going to offer up something. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up one hand with me. Say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. You say, why are you so thankful? Thank you, Jesus. I know something now. It unlocks the gateway to my blessing. It unlocks the gateway to the promises of God. Look, He redeemed me. He purchased me with His own blood. He wrote my destiny in a book from the time that I was even before formed in my mother's womb. He has a thought about me. He began to declare it over me even before the foundation of the world. And I'm going to let some kind of condition and lack of not possessing something interrupt my praise to Him when I know that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, I will. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Ooh, now I know if you're not, I know. I know if you're not used to church like this, this is sounding crazy to you. I know. Because it sounds like you're at a football game. And you say, give me a name. Ooh. Give me a you. You. But see, that's all you get. Hey. That's all you get. But when you decree and declare, when you let out of your mouth, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. It gives you a key in your hand that unlocks the gateway to the blessing and the promises of God. So now listen to me. Hebrews 13:15. The writer of Hebrews gives us an understanding about how we release this. And I want you to read it with me, because when you read it, you'll remember it. You'll think of it instead of me just, you know, talking with you or at you. Listen, come on, let's read it. Therefore, by Him, let us continually... Wait a minute. Time out. Let's go back, because there was something powerful we just missed. Therefore, by Him. Not therefore, by your increase. Not therefore, by your material good. No. Not therefore, by your money. No. Not therefore, by your health. No. By your lack. Not by your poverty. Not by your sickness. Not by Him. Therefore, by whom? By Him. Say it with me. Therefore, by whom? By Him. By Him. Let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The qualification for my thanksgiving is not in what I possess. How I feel. How many friends I have or don't have. How many cars are in my garage. How many bling bling on my fingers. Ain't none of that. It's all by Him. I woke up this morning and Jesus was there. Throughout the day, He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I'm His own. He told me last night. He told me last night, Lou, you're the apple of my eye. Oh, if you're the only creature on the whole world, I still would have hung on the cross just for you. I got my eye on you. I said, Jesus, you got your eye on me? He said, sure enough, I got my eye on you. Now listen, why can't I be thankful? It's by Him. This is all by Him. My praise is because of Him, not because of anything else. Listen to this. You and I have got to call to mind what God has done in order to maintain a grateful heart. Because let me just introduce you to real life. It doesn't happen in a 28-minute segment in a sitcom on Tuesday night. You don't go into a surgery center, bust it up, and come out in 1 hour later walking. That's not real life. Real life is sometimes hard. And sometimes people say to me, oh, Pastor, I want to go into ministry. I want to preach just like you. And I think, oh, you sweet thing. You really don't know what you're asking for, do you? Oh, yeah, I do. I won't be under them bright lights. And I want people to say, I will. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, I like that part, Pastor. But I want you to get a little background of Paul, this man in the Bible. Watch what it says in Corinthians. I think it's my next verse. Just put it up, 2 Corinthians. Here's what he said about when he went to church. He said, from the Jews, 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus one. Now, wait a minute. Go back there, because that was too quick. You think after you've been whooped 3 times, you wouldn't go back to them Jews? I mean, come on now. You went there once, whooping. You go back twice, whooping. 3 times, whooping. What's the matter with you? You are an idiot. 4 times? 5 times? Watch. Receive 40 stripes minus one. Go to the next verse. 3 times I was beat with rods. 3 times. What did they say? First time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. Third time, I'm just plain stupid. Something like that. Watch this. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Get off the ship. Take a train, man. What's the matter with you? A night and a day I've been in the deep. Come on, next verse. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. Go back to my first verse in verse 25. Listen to this. This is Paul's response to all that. He said this, 3 times I've been beaten with rods, but I am still here. He said, once I was stoned, but I'm still here. Whoa, 3 times I was shipwrecked, but I'm coming back. I'm still here. I've been a night and the day in the deep, but I'm still here. Why? Because he understood, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Paul understood that circumstances were designed with a demonic intent in mind to rip out of his spirit a grateful heart, and he would not do it. He would not curse God. He would not begin to grumble and complain. He refused because he knew his God was a good God all the time. Now, you got to practice this. Some of you lift your hand real dignified like this. Put your fingers together. Like this, and say, thank you, Jesus. Well, see, that's good. See, that's when you're not in a lot of trouble. That's, you know, just try it again. Thank you, Jesus. That's like that royal wave. You know what I'm saying? But there's other of us who have been in so much trouble. Our hair ain't looking cute. Our clothes are all ratted out. We're sweating everywhere. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever leave the house with 2 different shoes on? Hey, you know what I mean? You look in a mess, and you can't do one of these, thank you, Jesus. You got to get both hands up there and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, see, you know what I'm talking about. But there's even some of us who got to go beyond that. It's not, thank you, Jesus. It's not, thank you, Jesus. They just got to stand up. If you want to, you can help me, and you can stand up. And you just take your hand and you say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I ain't got nothing else to say. Just thank you. Listen to me, church. Listen, children. Listen. You know what? There's only one way out of a whale. The same way you got in there. If the whale swallowed you and he brought you down, the way in is the same way out. And the devil would like to think you to think that when you came through the mouth, there's no exit back through the mouth. But look what happened in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Jonah's in the belly of the whale, seaweed wrapped around his neck, fish floating around his eyeballs. He's wondering, my God, where are you? The lights have been turned out, sloshing around, going down deep, the pressure all about him because the whale had gone to the depths of the ocean. And he think, no. He said, it may not look good, but I got a key in my pocket. I got a key in my pocket. I will sacrifice. Come on, say it. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. At that moment, the whale went. And the very thing you think is going to devour you is the thing that's going to deliver you. The thing that's going to bring you to where you needed to be all along. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. I don't know which one you got to give, but come on. Give him about 20 seconds of crazy praise in this house. Come on. Give him some praise. Come on. Hey, thank you, Lord. Yes, you are good, God. Yes, you are good, God. Woo! 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 Oh, yeah, look at somebody say, you're coming out, baby. You're coming out. You're coming out. You see, it's like Jesus. I mean, he's the Son of God. He's telling all his disciples, Lazarus is not dead. What do you mean he's not dead? 4 days, stinks, he's in the grave. No, he's just sleeping. They're talking about him on his, you know, on the way over there, they're over to Bethany, and they're just kind of talking behind his back. I think he's got too much sun this week. Lazarus already stinks. I think we're all going to die. This is our opportunity to leave. If we're going to go, we better go right now. Jesus comes up against the tomb, and you know the scripture, don't you? Put it up there in John 11. He said, take away that stone. Jesus is surrounded by unbelief. You know, sometimes that's all you can get. You can't get no help. Everybody around you don't believe a thing you're saying. They don't believe a thing you believe. You can't get anybody to chime in and praise him with you. You're a praiser all by yourself. And Jesus stood looking in the tomb of death. He's looking into uncertainty. He's looking into the impossible thing. And the first thing he does is lift up his eyes and say, thank you, Lord. He didn't say it like that. He just said, I thank you, Lord, that you have heard me. Isn't that awesome? I thank you, Lord, that you have heard me. And the moment he released his thankfulness, the promise of the resurrection power of God was released from heaven and went into the impossibility that he could get no help from all around him. Come on, lift your hands up and say, I will.
Bless the Lord.
His praise shall be continually
in my mouth.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to make a decision. Because Paul and Silas knew there was nobody where they were that was going to help them. They were in a prison. It was about midnight. And they began to sing praise. I don't know what they sang. I'm not sure what tune they used. Maybe it was a simple song like, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. I don't know if it was that or not. Or maybe it was like this. I will bless the Lord and give him glory. I don't know what did it, but suddenly the place started rocking. Whoop, whoop. It must have had a beat to it because it started swaying. Oh man, them rocks started breaking loose from the mortar and the bars were just like, you know, vibrating, and suddenly the whole place was wide open on their thankfulness. Sometimes, you know, praise and thanksgiving is a sacrifice, church. David was on his face before the Lord. His son was deathly ill. He was crying out for a miracle. Many believe Psalm 51 was written out of that experience. I'm not sure exactly the application, but I do know this. Upon the news of David hearing about his son having gone to heaven, he picked himself up and said, I must go to the house of God and worship. In the midst of a loss, sometime all you can do is praise him. Because nothing else will matter. Whether you're stuck in an impossible situation, or whether you find yourself amongst unbelief, or maybe you have carried grief and loss in your heart, the sacrifice of praise comes into reality. Because I can't feel it, I can't see it, I can't experience it. There's no conditions around me that are conducive that God is doing anything. But I know something. I'm going to praise him because I've been in this thing too long to know that God is good all the time. And I ain't about to miss out on my blessing because I want to cop some kind of attitude that God is not going to do what he said, because he will do what he said. Now listen, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. This is a great scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. I don't quite understand Paul, but he illustrates thankfulness. He said, I've been immersed in tears, yet I'm filled with joy. How can somebody be immersed in tears and yet be filled with deep joy? He said, I'm living on handouts, man. Yet I'm enriching everybody. Watch this. Having nothing, but I have it all. He never lost his thankfulness. He understood that he needed no natural evidence to determine God's worth. God's worthy of our thanksgiving without natural evidence to establish it. Right there, I have to say thank you, Jesus. Because there are times when my will has to overpower my attitude. See, some of us came into this house and you brought a sacrifice, but you haven't released it yet because your will has not overpowered your attitude that has birthed an ingratitude in your heart. I've got to make it a sacrifice. That's what makes it a sacrifice. The fact that I can't do it. It is something that's not in me. I don't possess it. This is something, God, that I have to give in spite of how I feel. And he began to praise him. You see, I found something out in the book of Romans chapter 5 and 5 talking about hope. Because you see, my anchor is my hope. My anchor is my hope, and my trust is in my God. My trust this morning is God. My trust this morning is God. And my walk today is faith. My walk today is faith, and my help is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I rely upon the anointing of God. And I know that it's steadfast and true, and it's not going to change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, my thanksgiving reveals my God to people. I don't know. I annoy some people because most of the time I'm happy. And when you're around sad people, mad people, bitter people, depressed people, they don't like you happy. They want you to be depressed just like them. So when you come over and say, hi, how you doing? Oh, I don't know. It's just, I just hate my life. Me too, man. I hate mine too. Because you want to be their, you want to be their buddy. Hi, how you doing? What's going on? Oh, man, I went to church the other day, and you know that Sister Yay Yay woman, she over there talking about me. You know, I had that same thing when I went over to that church. I wouldn't go there either. But you know what? It's something else to not allow other people to influence you. Don't put your depression on me. I don't want your germ. Cover your mouth when you talk. You know, people sneeze now. We sneeze. This is like a sophisticated sneeze. Ha-shoo. We used to just do this. Ha-shoo. Some of us just went, ha-shoo. But it's the same thing with our mouth, with our ingratitude, with our attitudes, with our entitlement feelings, with our bitterness, with our unforgiveness, with our self-centeredness, with our pride. We walk around infecting other people because we're not grateful. But look, I'm not going to come into your ungratefulness. I'm not going to join your club of complainers. And I don't want to be part of the Grumblers Association of America. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. and His praise is going to be continually in my mouth. Why? Because I know that God is good. And more than that, I know that my thanksgiving is a key that unlocks the gateway to the blessing of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We believe God is speaking. God is speaking. Did you know yesterday, Ann and you guys, you know, when you were feeding Thanksgiving dinner here and you were bringing Joshua kids in here and you were ministering over here in the West, they were doing a Thanksgiving dinner out there and they were bringing Joshua kids out there. Did you know that when you were praising God up in here the other day and you were calling on the name of the Lord, they were praising God out there and calling upon the name of the Lord, and God gave us a word and He said, I see two fires, one in the east and one in the west. And the fires are beginning to grow. And they're beginning to get stronger and burning more brightly. And the fires are going to begin to consume the territory between the two camps. And before you know it, all of northeastern Ohio is going to be aflame with the revival and the glory of the living God. We are stepping in to the blessing of God. If I can just get somebody to bless Him and to thank Him and to glorify Him in spite of what you're going through, unlock the door, unlock the gate, step in to the blessing of God. Woo. When you're up there playing baseball and you're watching that ball, you don't step away from it to swing. You can't do this and expect to hit. They teach you to step into it. God's saying there's a transition in the earth. There is a shifting in the realm of the spirit. You can't stand there. You can't step back. You've got to step into it. You say, well, you don't understand. I struck out last time I was at bat. Honey, that was yesterday. Today is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. You about to knock that ball right out of the park. You've got to step into it. He gave us a word Thursday night. He said the locust's body is too large for the wings that it was given in the natural for it to fly. It can jump, and when it jumps, it flaps its wings, but it comes right down at the end of its jump. However, it has a keen ability to sense the wind. And what it does when the wind blows is position itself. Let the winds blow. Ready, set, go. And He allows the wind to take the flapping of the wind, wings, over the body that's too large in the natural to go way beyond anything He could have done without the wind. Do you understand this revival, this thing that God's given us, this thing that we carry, this passion, this burden that we haven't seen get off the ground? God is saying you're coming into a time when the wind is going to blow, and I've been positioning you to discern the direction of the wind, and all you've got to do is jump when the wind blows, and I'll carry you to your destination. This is all about what God wants to do in your life. A kairos moment. It's when God steps in to the chronos. Chronological time. God says, that's enough. He says, I'm going to step into it. I don't know if you've heard of the movie 2012. Some of you might have seen it. A cataclysmic event. I'm not even sure what happens to the planet Earth in that movie. But it's not good. Life changes as we've known it. Some have said the Mayan calendar predicts the end of the world in 2012. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke prophetically and said this. That's exactly what's happening in 2012. The end of the world, your world, the way you've known it. Because I'm stepping into your world and I'm going to change everything about your world. I'm telling you right now, God is going to do some spectacular supernatural things. And all we got to do is say, praise you, Jesus. Come on, praise Him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, some of you got to say, praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Some of you got to just get real crazy and say, thank you, Lord. Because you know that God is about to do for you what you could never do yourself. Let me finish. And I'm going way too long, longer than what I intended. But I don't know. It's just who I am. I'll give you one more verse. Can I do one more? Psalm 27, verses 5 to 6. Notice something about this Bible verse. This is so good because it says, now in the time of trouble. See, when you read the Bible, you've got to really extract the meaning of the words because he says time, which is chronological. In other words, it's a season, it's a moment. Trouble doesn't last forever. If you're in trouble right now, it's only for a time. It's for a season. And you see, because you came into the belly of the whale, there's a way out of that belly as well. Just because you're in the tomb, somebody's coming to raise you up out of that tomb. You might be in prison in bondage, but let me tell you, there's a song brewing somewhere in somebody's spirit that's going to rock the house. Let me tell you something. He said it's a time of trouble. But notice that in trouble, what God does, he says he's going to hide me in the secret place of his pavilion, in the tabernacle. He's going to hide me. Now I understand that the fire will not kindle upon me, neither shall the flood waters overtake me. You see, that last word, high upon a rock, means there's a lifting by God. Everybody take your hand like this and just lift it up. See, that's it. Just one time. Lift it up. Now, you know, that's exactly what it means in the Hebrew. He says that God wants to lift you upon the rock. Now I understand why the floodwaters won't come overtake me and overwhelm me. Because just when the water is on my lip, and just when it's under my nostril, and I think I'm going to be breathing H2O, somehow there's a lifting in my heart. I'm up another 6 inches. I may not be out of the water, but the water's not in me. Do you understand something? God said it's a season of trouble. And if you can thank him, if you can praise him in the middle of your trial, in the moment of your darkness, because he's worthy, because he is able to deliver you and to keep you against that day, that is the key that unlocks the promises of God. I can remember times, and I know you can as well, that all I can do is reach down deep inside somewhere. And I have to say it. I just have to say, I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. That's what I did. That's what I did. I came here today, it was a sacrifice of praise. I don't have my praise on, it's in my pocket. I want to give it to God, but my heart's broke. My mind is tormented, but I still know he's God. So I came to the house of God today with a praise. I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. See, we can't just bring it and then take it back home with us. And this is the part that's so powerful. And I offer up to you the sacrifices of... No, it doesn't say that. Does it say Thanksgiving? I'm not talking turkey and pumpkin pie. I'm talking about a gratitude, an attitude that's birthing words of giving God praise in the midst of struggle. And I offer up to you sacrifices of thanksgiving. And I offer up to you the sacrifices of praise, joy, peace, whatever. Sometimes you just have to walk through the hospital corridor, you know. You just walk through the hospital corridor because the doctor is just giving you crazy reports. And sometimes you walk away from your job and you got that pink slip and you think, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And sometimes when you hang up the phone and you look at your husband or you look at your wife and you say, baby, I don't know what happened to our children, but I don't know what God's going to have to do here. At that moment, you have to make a decision. And you walk away and you bring that praise out of you as a sacrifice. And simply put, I will bless the Lord and give you glory. Oh, I will bless you, Lord, and give you glory. your hands and sing that. I will bless you, Lord, and give you glory. Oh, I will bless you, Lord, and give you glory. Now, Father, in this room right now, I want to pray for my friends who are right now in time of trouble. I want to pray for them, Father, because they're looking for the hiding place in your pavilion. And Lord, they need a lifting right now. You say, hey, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Hey, that's why we're here. The altar ministers can join me across the front of this room. I want to maintain the sensitivity in the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. You don't know a sacrifice of praise until what you had died. And you have to bring it to God. It's all I have, God. It's all I have. But I want to thank you. I will bless the Lord at all times, and your praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lift me, God. Hide me, God. Bring an end to this trouble. That's what I need. And if that's you this morning, nobody looking around. Just keep your head bowed for a minute. I want you to rise from where you're sitting and come down to the front here and let us pray with you and agree that you will maintain a thankful heart in the midst of your trouble. That will unlock the promises of God. That's what we're going to believe for. Come on. Come on down. Come on. Come on. Simply put, stand and come. Just come on. Come on from the front, from the back, the side. Come on. Just come. Because it's only Jesus that can do it. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for someone to pray, go get them. Bring them up. Yeah. We don't want them to stand there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Because God is good all the time, is he not? Yeah. Would you like to stand with me, church? If you need that prayer, we want you to come, because we've all been in trouble and we've all had the wrong attitude before. But like that, God can change it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, these are tender moments, because they're moments when people are really laying it all out. And that's not easy. It's not easy. So would you like to pray with them? Pray for them, rather, with me? Come on, let's do that. Father, we pray for each one that's up here today. We ask your mercies and grace to be new in their life. We help you, Lord. Help them, Lord God, to come to that place of complete restoration and total deliverance, and let them know how much you really love them, God. And we thank you, Father, for your faithful word to them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. We want to invite you to consider coming back tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be mindful of the time to get your children in bed for school. But come and let's expect miracles. Let's start a fire right here in the valley that the whole world will see. Come expecting, and let's believe God. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on... No, we don't have a Wednesday night. No Wednesday night this week because of Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. God bless you. You're just...